Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews. This weekend is the 17th annual Franchise Expo in Washington, D.C., and Don and I are both going to be there at the show. Today, you're going to get to hear from the founder of FranchiseWorks.com, Terry Corkery. And Terry gives his advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise, as well as gives some great, fantastic tips on attending the franchise shows. So, hope you enjoy this show, and perhaps we'll see you in Washington, D.C. this weekend. Com. And Terry's going to give prospective franchisees some advice on what to look for when buying a franchise. Terry, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Marty?
Good, Terry. Terry, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, who's also the president of Diamond Financial Services of New Jersey. And I know you wanted to say hi to Terry, Don.
Yeah, hey, Terry. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. You know, I wanted to ask you, what's the name of that impressive franchise financing company you have on your website? I was on your site there.
You know, people ask me all the time, and for some reason I get stumped on. is it franchise funding?
Okay.
Diamond Financial?
Okay. That's it.
They're probably two of the best companies I know.
That's okay, good. Excellent. We'll give you a little extra time today.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me, by the way.
Yeah, well, like I've told you, I've been advertising on Terry's website for a couple of years now, and I've been on, I've been on several of the websites, and Terry's site, FranchiseWorks.com, I definitely feel is the best for quality results and service. And
you've done a
real good job with the website, Terry. And
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
the next week we'll be seeing you at the franchise show, IFE, and you know later on we'll be giving people again information on the show. And
okay.
you're going to be working hard at the show, right?
I always do, Don.
Okay.
I will say, Terry, I was joking around with Don. I said, you know, when you go to the shows, go hungry, you know, because there's just so much food there. I walked out of there last year with a stomachache, and I think I gained 5 pounds. So.
Well, that's always a good show to go to if, you know, you're looking to grab some pizza or maybe a
absolutely
sandwich as you're walking around. They even have dessert with ice cream. And
oh, I would agree with that. I know.
Everybody's showing off their stuff, yeah.
That's right,
absolutely.
Yeah,
Terry, again, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You know, congratulate you on the success of FranchiseWorks.com. I've been following you guys for a long time. You know, I remember when you guys first came out in 1999. So, you know, congratulations on all that success. I think it's fantastic.
Thanks.
How did you get involved in franchising, Terry? I know it was an interesting story.
Well, I guess it goes back to 1987. I don't want to make the story too long. But really, my background was I was an auto mechanic.
Okay.
By trade. And the company I was working for at the time was really getting involved in franchising. It was an
Indian
company. And at that point, I thought, gee, you know, I don't know if I want to continue to make money, you know, fixing cars and doing those type of things and rebuilding engines. So they got involved in franchising, and I really looked at that as an opportunity for me to, you know, move ahead. So I got involved really in the sales and the background of the franchise itself as it was developing. And, you know, that was my head start into the franchising industry. But prior to that, I really didn't know anything about it.
Interesting.
So,
that's okay. Why did you start FranchiseWorks.com, Terry?
Well, that was, again, working for that company, I went to work in sales and development for a couple other different companies. And I'll go back in 95, I think, is even before that, I was getting calls for people to advertise when I was working for these companies in sales, and they said, you know, do you want to advertise on our website?
Right.
And I thought to myself, Internet? Who the heck has the Internet? This is before AOL.
Exactly.
Right.
AOL really kind of brought the Internet, I think, to the masses of people.
I would agree.
Everyone at home.
Yeah.
Look at that. So at that point, that's really when I saw the change and said, gee, you know, this is interesting. I should really start getting involved in the advertising end of the franchise industry because from the print media standpoint, the leads were kind of going down a little bit as the Internet grew.
Right, absolutely.
So by the time it was 99, even though print media was still very good, it was declining as far as people researching on the Internet, people looking at information. I thought, what a great opportunity.
Right. That's something. And it's probably the number one source now, Terry, I suspect, right? As far as, like, prospective franchisees looking for a franchise, would you say most of them go on the Internet?
Yes. There's been a study done, and it's actually, for the last 5 or 6 years, has been the number one source for people looking, even for franchisors, getting leads.
Right, absolutely.
The Internet has been, so.
Yeah, you really came in at a good time, Terry.
You really did, yeah.
The numbers just keep going up with the amount of people going online for any type of service, especially if you're looking for a franchise business. So I think you're positioned real well right now.
I think the market's continuing to grow. I mean, obviously, people aren't giving up the Internet. They like the fact that they could do it as far as searching and researching and getting information at their leisure.
Exactly.
So it's a great resource.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
And, you know, Terry, you and I have spoken about this. There's so many new sites that have come up, you know, offering the same type of service to you. It must be a pretty good feeling knowing that you were right there in the beginning and
right.
You know, so much more well-known. I mean, there's starting to be so many, and I personally wouldn't consider any of them. You know, I want someone that has that track record, you know, a pretty well-known site that has the volume is so important.
Yeah, I agree with you, Don. And again, we spoke about that previously, but, you know, sometimes the technology changes so fast I don't have time to pat myself on the back. And,
right.
And I don't mean that to be sarcastic.
Right.
When I started, I guess there was probably about, and I forget at the time, maybe 15 different companies.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right, yeah.
Now there's probably about 125 different companies that are
that's
trying
incredible.
To get lead sources. So
that's amazing.
But yeah. the key really is, in my industry, is to generate that targeted traffic of people that are actually looking to buy a business, and that's what I feel is the key.
Right, absolutely.
So obviously, Terry, you're an entrepreneur, but what advice would you give to other entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Let's start, like, say, at the franchise show coming up next week. You've done so many of the shows. You know, what advice would you give to someone you know, going to the show?
I would say to someone, definitely attend the shows.
Okay.
It really gives you an opportunity to look at the scope firsthand of the franchise industry. I mean, you can see everything from a home-based business, whether it's in the handyman service,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to a, you know, a full-blown, you know, sandwich and sub shop.
Right.
So, I mean, everything is there at your disposal. There's seminars that you can attend.
Right.
That are free. There's some that you pay for. But primarily, it's really there to get in touch, get information, meet the people that you're going to see. It's nothing like the Internet. The Internet's great to do your research on, but you
right.
still have to get past that.
Exactly.
You still have to meet the individuals, the companies, and get a good feel, and that's a great opportunity to do it.
Absolutely. Right. They should go prepare to, Terry. You know, a lot of times, like I've noticed at the shows, because I've done shows in the past as well, you know, a lot of people will come up to your booth and they'll say, you know, so what do you guys do? You know, should an aspiring or prospective franchisee go in prepared? Like, you know, I know a lot of times you can actually get a list of who's going to be at the show. Like, say it's going to be 300 franchises. Do you suggest you kind of do research first before you actually approach the booth? Or because I suspect you get that too. A lot of people come up to your booth and they say, well, what do you guys do? What
exactly.
do you guys do? You know, and you spend your 3 days answering that question. I know you probably go through that as well, Don.
All the time. But, you know, the best thing that you can do for the franchise company, quite frankly, is go in there prepared. And what
right.
I mean by that is, you know, I'll give my site a plug for a second. You know, there's a trade show listing. I mean, you can get a free registration to go to the show on our site and so forth. But more importantly, you can get the listing of the franchisors that are going to be there.
Right.
It kind of gives you an idea of what to expect. You're not going in there looking for a company that's not going to be there and have to settle for something else. At least you know ahead of time what's going to be there, who's going to be there. And kind of you can do research on the Internet prior to going. And you could get yourself together a number of questions to say, you know, let me ask this. It's great as a franchisor, I'll put on my sales hat when I work for the franchise company,
right.
to have someone coming up and talking to me and having an intelligent conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point, Terry. Be prepared.
Yeah.
Have questions. Really know what your investment range is, too. I mean, maybe, you know, check on your, say, credit score. And
exactly.
And like in the business I'm in, you know, kind of have a general idea of, you know, if you have to get a business loan, about what size you think you can get. But, you know, your site can be great for a great preparer, I guess, initially. If they
yeah.
have a certain industry in mind, they can go to a site like yours and
exactly
look at a few franchises and then notice, hey, these guys are going to be at the show and kind of have a game plan going to the show. Not that everybody has to do that, but for
right.
the serious
no, but
entrepreneur, I mean, I think it's a, you know, you're offering some real nice advice.
And it's great, Don, because they can go there and get information on the franchisors and see guys like yourself there and talk about financing if need be or whatever has to be done. I mean, I know you work with some of the companies that are probably advertising and have displays at the show yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a great resource.
Yeah.
Everything is there for you to take advantage of.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good response.
So, Terry, you being in the business a while, what are some of the biggest changes that you've seen over the last decade in franchising in general?
The biggest changes in franchising?
yeah, just not on the Internet. I mean,
that's where I'm a little bit slighted because I'm jilted now. I'm on the other end of it, being that the proliferation of information.
Right.
It's really there for anyone to take advantage of. In years past, you had to get, prior to that, you really had to go to what the salespersons were speaking to you about.
Right.
You know, now it's, you know, you can do a background check. You can get information. You could do all the research that you want to do in looking at the industry. Also, the growth of franchising. I know last year alone there was probably over 500 new franchise companies that came to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that amazing?
That,
yeah, Marty and I have talked about that, you know, a number of times on previous shows. It's been a pretty common theme with us, right, Marty?
Absolutely. I mean, the number of systems, Terry, I mean, it's been incredible. I think it was back in 2005. I think that was a record year. I think there was like 900 new, or was it 500 new concepts, I think it was.
Last year, I think it was 500. That could be the
It was. Okay, yeah. I'm not sure. I probably got my data mixed up. But
the year prior to that was very close. I mean, there's several hundred new franchisors coming every year.
It's incredible.
Over 80 industries. And, you know, some of those new franchises are existing franchise kind of diversifying, but still it's
right.
A new service. It's you know, it's a new franchise. You have to count it, and it's endless. You know, every week, Terry, you probably come across this too. We've talked. I'm always seeing for the first time the name of a franchise I've never heard before.
Yes,
and I'm
like,
get me their information. Never heard of this. Are they new? Most of the time they are on the newer side, but it's incredible how
every industry is almost covered with franchising.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
If you think about it and think of an industry, I would probably tell you 99% of the chances there's someone in there that has a business that's franchised in that industry.
It's right. Incredible.
But it is amazing, Don. Again, you handle it too as well as myself, that we'll field calls from companies. I think, gee, I never heard of that. And then they tell you the industry they're in, and you think, wow, that's really interesting. I mean,
and then you see one particular industry that all of a sudden a couple successful franchises and a niche-type service, and all of a sudden there's a explosion of more franchises in that segment.
Well, that's one of the changes I've seen, again, over the last decade. I don't even know if I want to go back that far, is probably the home-based industry.
Right.
It seems that there's been a lot of home-based franchise companies come up in the last few years.
Absolutely.
Which is
better for investors, because usually those are smaller investment sizes, so people can get into franchising with a successful, you know, franchise model at a lower price. Not
exactly.
Invest in the 300,000 to 500,000 or more size franchise. So there's opportunities for everybody across the board.
It's the range of everybody. So if you have a $10,000 investment, typically there's probably something in that industry that's franchised, as well as the $2 million investment.
Absolutely.
Why don't you sell your site, Terry, and get back into the auto mechanic business?
Well, I had an offer yesterday, but I didn't want to be the mechanic.
Geez. Terry, what are some of the characteristics of successful entrepreneurs, would you say?
Well, obviously, I think drive is probably one of the key features for someone looking to get in business. Obviously, you have to have that drive. You have to have, if you're married, you have to have the support from your spouse. Because
we've heard that before, too, from guests on the show.
It's really the drive. I mean, you have to, even though franchising, you have to follow direction, which is what makes it successful, but you still have to have that drive. I call it like a franchepreneur. You still have to be,
absolutely.
You have to be an entrepreneur at heart, but you still have to be able to follow that system.
Absolutely.
You have to be motivated and just realize you're not automatically going to make money. You follow the system most likely, but you're going to have to work hard.
Exactly. And if you're looking for a change in the system, you really have to prove it. I mean, most franchisors are not looking for the franchisee to change, although some of the changes do come from the franchisees that make the business successful.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. We were reading a story, it was a couple weeks ago, Terry. I don't know if you remember this, Don. We were talking about the Filet-O-Fish, the guy that started the Filet-O-Fish for McDonald's. He was competing against Ray Kroc, I guess it was with the Hula Burger, which was like a pineapple. And, the Filet-O-Fish was attributed to a franchisee, actually.
A lot of those things from the McDonald's were attributed by
franchisees.
The franchisees.
Absolutely. That's something.
That was an interesting story.
That was. That was a great story.
Around the time of Lent, and they wanted to go with a non-meat type of food, and that person happened to put together a real nice fish sandwich that became a staple at McDonald's.
Sure has.
Right, absolutely. Terry, what do you like most about franchising?
Well, I think it gives everyone a level playing field. And what I mean by that, whether you have a ninth grade education, if you went in through college or high school or a doctor, it doesn't make a difference. Everyone has that same opportunity to be successful. Because to me, the key features in the franchise, in purchasing a franchise, would be, number one, the system. Obviously, there has to be a system in place. Number two, the support that's in place for you to be successful. And obviously, as the franchise grows, the name recognition. I mean, they're probably the three key features you're buying a franchise for. And I think it gives everyone that opportunity to utilize those.
Just find that structure and successful business model. And
yep. I mean, so, again, I think it fits everyone. It doesn't discriminate. Anyone
Absolutely.
Can do it and be successful in the franchise system.
Absolutely.
So when you're doing the show, Terry, I mean, I'm sure you get all kinds of questions. Do people talk to you and ask you questions about, you know, what should I, you know, as far as my due diligence and investigation to a franchise? Do you get that sometimes?
Yeah, I do. And I try to direct them, you know, if someone is really not sure of the type of business they're looking at, obviously I direct them to the site without question. But also involved with that, and you asked earlier about another thing that's changed in franchising is probably the consultative end, or the consultants, or the brokers.
Right.
It used to be called brokers, now they're consultants. But I'll direct someone to a consultant or a consulting company because they're looking at information that doesn't cost them a nickel. They can talk to the guys and really kind of, I don't want to say a litmus test, but speak to them and present opportunities that maybe they thought they weren't looking at the time.
Right.
So it kind of opens their eyes to other industries.
Right, the consultant is interesting because someone can go to them if they have a specific industry in mind. But
even if they don't, yeah.
Right.
Even if they don't.
Exactly.
I mean, typically if you know what you want to do and you're saying, gee, let me get into a business and here's what I want to do when I'm looking in, you know, you kind of contact those companies. But if you say to yourself, you know, I want to get in business but I don't know what's hot, I don't know what I want to do with a specific industry, you know, you'll go to a consultant and they can kind of see, you know, what strengths you can utilize and maybe open your eyes to a different industry that you'll be successful in.
Right, absolutely.
Talked earlier, there's so much information out there and get to be pretty confusing. There's so much due diligence. And so here we're kind of plugging consultants, but, yeah, I mean, it's definitely an important.
They have their place. I mean, I think it's good. Anytime you can get information before you go in business is great. I mean, obviously, after you're all said and done, I think you should contact an attorney, obviously with a franchising background, to go over the UFOC and that information because, obviously, you need to get the right guidance.
Absolutely, yeah. We had a whole show dedicated to that too, Terry, you know, and the importance of hiring a franchise attorney, you know, and
I don't believe everything you're told, obviously.
Absolutely.
but you know, it gives you the opportunity to look at that information and talk with the attorneys that, again, I suggest always speaking with an attorney who has a background in franchising because they know the laws, they know what can be changed or what can't be changed. So it's a great asset.
Absolutely.
Do we have time for another question, Marty?
Yeah, two more, and then I guess, you know, we'll end the segment. And
you're done with me, huh? No, I'm kidding.
You can stay on the rest of the show, Terry. You just hang out with us if you like.
So you've been in franchising for a while, like we've just discussed, Terry. I'm sure you have a couple interesting things that's happened to you since you started FranchiseWorks.com. Come on, give us a good story.
Well, I don't necessarily know there's stories in particular, but I will say this. I was, and this sounds silly, I was young getting into franchising, you know, and I thought, yeah, guys are in sales, they're trying to sell people things. But I was really surprised that the people in the industry really do care. I mean, in a sense of there is a sincere effort to make franchisees successful. There's a lot of good people out there. I've met a tremendous amount of good franchisors that really do care about the franchisees being successful. It's not a matter of just selling a franchise. It really is
absolutely
something that they want to make their franchise successful, and obviously the franchisees just as successful as they are. So I mean,
them more as family, and you know, looking at long term rather than just trying to bring anybody into the system to get that franchise fee.
Exactly. Exactly. It wasn't a matter of just getting that franchise fee. It was a sincere desire to be successful and have the franchisees being successful. I mean, that's probably the most interesting thing that I found out in the years in franchising.
Yeah, that's a good point. I also have a lot of respect for the franchisors who, you know, just don't go out and try to just
make
build
a
up
quick
the numbers real quick.
No, they were entrepreneurs themselves at one time.
Right.
You know, they were somebody that started something because they started a business and decided to build on that business and franchise it because there was a niche in the market. I mean, so they worked real hard to get it to that point. And you always have to keep that in the back of your mind.
Absolutely.
Right, there's no pressure. It's take all the time you need to investigate. And, you know, if it's a match on both sides, then there's a strong chance that marriage is going to last.
And you have to be comfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I mean, it's a disaster if a franchisor gets involved with the wrong franchisee too, Terry, you know, because it ends up in that UFOC document, you know, which cannot be a good thing.
Which can be a headache.
Exactly.
So...
Absolutely. Yeah, Terry, what's the best way to get in touch with you? Obviously, is going to, is it franchiseworks.com?
Franchiseworks.com, obviously.
Okay.
You know, all the information, there's a contact form in there if you need to speak to me. There's the phone number there that you need if you need to speak to us. I don't want to plug my numbers.
No, actually, you can give your number too, Terry. That's fine, yeah. Or you know what we could do? We'll also put a link. It should be up there on the show page.
Okay.
That can actually link to franchiseworks.com. And, again, it's a fantastic website. Again,
you know, there's information on franchisors, obviously franchise companies, information about financing from guys like yourself, Don, as well as trade show information. If you can't make the show in Washington, there's other shows that are held in different parts of the country that you can get information on from a schedule.
Sometimes smaller regional shows, sometimes somebody's
there's regional shows there.
Companies have shows. And,
yep.
Right.
Also, Terry, what booth are you going to be at for next week's
show? Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
You know, Don, you're asking me a question. I don't... I'm terrible. I don't have my booth number.
Don can tell you that.
I think if they go to find your booth, Don, probably look to the right and I may be there. What do you think? I don't know. Someplace in that same section.
938, where Diamond Financial will be. And,
there you go.
And then I'll tell you exactly where Terry's going to be.
Don, do you know what number I'm going to be in?
You should find out.
I think I should, right?
We'll put that on our show
page. Actually, we can put that on the show page, too, Terry. Yeah, we can put that up there. You know, if you email that to me or, you know, you can give me a call back, and I'll put that right up there. And
if you want to attend the show in Washington, just so your visitors, your listeners know, they can go to our website.
Okay.
There's a link there that they can get a free pass to attend the show in Washington.
That's great.
So they can click on that and fill the form out and get a free pass.
Absolutely. And it saves them some money, too. I think this is like $20 to get in.
It's about $25 a day to get in. So
yeah, absolutely. That's
always
fantastic.
Helpful.
So that's great. I would certainly take advantage of that. So, again, Terry, I want to thank you for being on the show today. I think you guys have a fantastic website. It's very informative. And, I look forward to, your continued success. And I guess, Don and I will both see you in Washington as well.
You'll see me there.
Look forward to seeing you, Terry.
And I look forward to seeing you. Don, you owe me a dinner, I think you said, right?
You.
No, I'm teasing you. It was good speaking to you guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Terry. You have a great day today.
I appreciate it. You too.
Okay, take care.
Terry.
Bye-bye.
Take care.